from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, rocking with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they will hang out with you until 4 o'clock on this Thursday, best day of the week, July 25th. 2024. A little bit of a grab bag today. Talked a little baseball. Talked some Kings in the last segment. I still got to get to this peanut butter and jelly sandwich thing. Mm. And a caller I see on the line. Hang out there for a bit. We'll get to you, I promise. Last night, the Giants beat the Dodgers 8-3 at Dodger Stadium. They will go for the split today. Logan Webb against Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw pitching for the first time since last postseason. I had forgotten that he pitched game 7 of the NLDS for the Dodgers and gave up 6 hits and 6 runs in a third of an inning.
Oof.
I had forgotten about that. That's a tough go, but I'm going to say I feel bad for Giants fans, but that's just because that's the baseball fan base that is most in my orbit that's not A's fans. And the NBA is great because we get a game. And then sometimes there's a game the next night, sometimes there's a day off, sometimes there's two, but we can kind of react to each game as it's happening. In the NFL, that's part of why the NFL is so great. You get a game, and then you get a week. Discuss what happens in the game, you look ahead to the next one, and then you've got a game.
Mm-hmm.
Until they started making games every day of the week. In baseball, it is 162 games. You're playing basically every day.
Yeah.
And it lends itself to, here's where I've gotten with Giants fans that, again, this is my orbit of Giants fans. Went from losing 3-2 to the Dodgers on Monday. And it was, no, I'm sorry, Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No, Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. Losing to the Dodgers on Monday, 3-2. It's like, what a boring team. They lose to the Dodgers 5-2 the next night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was season's over. This is, Kenny called him the most depressing Giants team in 20 years. It's sell at the deadline. I don't care. They need to rebuild. This isn't working. Last night they beat the Dodgers 8-3. And that same group of people. It's like, hey.
Maybe.
Blake Snell back. Robbie Ray back. Look, that's a good 1-2 punch. I'm saying if you're buying at the deadline, you've got to, this team might have a shot. And dude, the push-pull of that sounds exhausting. I get it. I understand. Because that season's over. Oh my God, we're back. That's me. I'm there. We're simpatico there. But this has been, they'll win 3 in a row and they talk themselves into, oh, something special is brewing. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Watch out. Elliot Ramos. Oh, Luis Matos.
We're always the second half team.
Matt Chapman starting to hit.
We're always the second half team.
Second half team. Blake Snell. Hey, Blake Snell's back. Robbie Ray's back. Uh-oh. Tyler Rogers. If they just stop using Luke Jackson, like it's incredible. And I feel so bad because that's not a good team. The Giants aren't good. And they're not particularly fun either. They scored 8 runs last night. That was great. And getting a win against the Dodgers is good. It keeps them in striking distance of that playoff spot. I think they're 4.5 games out of a playoff spot right now. And hey, yeah, do they have to leapfrog 5 teams to get there? Yes. But hey, Blake Snell and Robbie Ray.
Mm.
Good little win last night. Things moving the right way. Like, no, man. No, it's not. I promise. I promise.
Mm.
I feel bad.
I do too. I mean, like, look, as someone who's an A's fan, like, I hope that everyone just, like, kind of feels bad that, you know, we've had to watch 2 decades of all of your favorite players come up, become stars, and then move on to some other team.
Yeah.
That's always the worst part, is that they just won't allow their fan base to embrace somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt like the Giants, like, they did such a good job of embracing guys that they couldn't get rid of them later.
Yeah.
And it's like, how long did Brandon Belt not need to not be in the starting lineup? But you just kept...
couple years.
Held on to him. Kept thinking, oh, well, he did hit. He came close to 30 home runs that one year.
Yeah. He played in a different ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing with Brandon Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
He held on to Brandon Crawford a couple years too long.
Yeah. Super brutal what they do there. And I feel like some of the prospects, like, you're always waiting for someone who never arrives there. And it's tough.
But at least, like, I say I feel bad for them, but I mean, they won 3 titles, and that run in 2010, 12, and 14, those were all super fun and really, really good teams and just a really enjoyable bunch of players, and they had some really good moments. So the feeling bad is all relative.
Yeah.
Their team isn't moving, and their team spends a lot of money. I think they're the 10th highest payroll in baseball. So they spend money. Just not the way that they need to be competitive with teams like the Dodgers and the Phillies and the Braves when they're healthy, or the Yankees, or whatever team.
Yeah. It feels like it's a whole group of platoon players.
Yeah, kind of. It's a money ball strategy where they spend a little more money.
Yeah.
It's just they're just good enough, and this is what we were talking about with Kenny yesterday. The Giants are just good enough that you can't give up all the way. If the Giants were the A's right now, you'd be like, hey, they pulled the plug, but Lawrence Butler and Zach Geloff's figuring it out. Mason Miller is awesome. J.J. Bladé is playing well. Brent Rooker hits the heck out of the ball. Shea Langeliers looks like he's starting to figure it out in the pros. You got Tyler Soderstrom, who is one of their top prospects. Jacob Wilson, that's the name I was trying to come up with.
Yeah.
Jacob Wilson came up and he got a hit and he got hurt, but hey, he's there. There's reasons for, like, hope and excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're, what are they, 41 and 60 something right now?
Yeah, 41 and 63, 22 games under 500.
Right, so they're not good.
Mm-mm.
They might not win, they might lose 100 games.
They could win 22 consecutive games and just get back to 500. I'm saying that there's a chance.
They could win 22 consecutive games at this point of the year and still not finish 500.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but I'd way rather be in that spot than where the Giants are, where every win, because if fans are talking themselves into it, ownership's talking themselves into it. The front office is talking themselves into it. Going, all right, hey, look, Blake Snell, Robbie Ray.
It feels like
1-2 punch.
It feels like last season the Giants did the same exact thing, building up to the trade deadline. All of a sudden they won some games and you're like, oh? And then it came and went. You're like, oh, yeah, no.
If they want to stand pat, fine. Go for it. And you're going, hey, Logan Webb's there, and Hayden Birdsong has been a revelation. So get him back up and he's going to make a start every 5th day. Cool. Fine. Cool. That's a way better strategy, having your young guys up like Logan Webb, like Hayden Birdsong.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just going to try and ride those guys and you're not going to sell, okay, I guess. But right now, I don't... I wouldn't want to be in that spot. Just within shouting distance of a playoff spot, just close enough, but not particularly close.
And no real future with it.
Mm-mm.
None of it. None of it has like a true, like, there's no meat. Yeah.
Sure isn't.
Tough.
Time for everybody's favorite radio segment here on the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. James Ham's there. Kyle Madsen is here. And Mitch is in New Jersey. Mitch, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. James, I hope you get better.
Yeah.
And Kyle, maybe you can teach Tatum how to throw a ball and he can teach you how to dunk.
That'd be perfect, yeah. I think I could dunk if Jason Tatum taught me, for sure.
I think the 49ers, they're going to lose a hoop there, so I think they should trade him for, get something for him.
Okay.
Or they lose him for nothing.
Okay.
I think the team's still good enough.
Okay.
And I think they got to make a move. Kings got to make another move, but I want to see him give up Keegan just to get, and I definitely don't want Ingram. Not where Trixie, I was getting a name mixed up. I'm sorry. Just don't get Ingram. Unless you get somebody that's been long-term, like a fellow from Utah, Lauren McCollum.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely want to see Timmy make this team. He cannot contribute that much. It'd be worse than Lem or McGee McVay.
Jamel, yeah.
I think he'll be less than him.
Perfect.
Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate you. Where do you land on the Drew Timmy thing?
So Drew Timmy, I need to look it up. I don't know where he played last year. I'm going to guess he played in the G League last year.
Mm-hmm.
And if he played in the G League last year, that means you have to acquire his rights if you're going to bring him in, right?
So you can have a player on your summer league team whose rights belong to another team?
Yes. Yeah. So last year he played for...
The Wisconsin Herd.
Yes, the Wisconsin Herd. He averaged 10.2 points, 5.7 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 0.8 blocks. So as of right now, there's a good chance that they have his G League rights. So in order to get him to play for you, you can give him a two-way contract because he's still young and he's only got 1 year of experience.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kings don't have any two-way contracts as of right now. So your first option would be that. You could... sign him and give him a regular roster spot. The Kings still have one of those, but I'm not sure that that would be a great move either because you're up against luxury tax, and I don't think you're going to pay the luxury tax so you can have Drew Timmy on your roster.
Good point.
But what you can do is you could invite him to training camp. Without acquiring his rights. It's called, you can give him an Exhibit 10 contract, which is like a training camp spot,
okay.
Right? And then you could give him a signing bonus, and then you could work out with the Wisconsin Herd a way to acquire his G League rights. So then when you waive him, he would get whatever roster bonus you'd given him. If he stays in the G League for, I think it's 60 days, he would get that roster bonus. So let's say to keep Drew Timmy from going overseas, you give him $150,000 bonus to come to training camp, but the second he goes to the G League, he's got to stay in the G League for 60 days, and then he would get that roster bonus.
Got it.
Because most G League players, I think the average salary now is like $90,000, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's their salary. There's not a bunch. You can't go and pay a dude like $3 million to play for your G League team.
Sure.
So that's the way you can... I like Drew Timmy, and... I think what you could do is you could bring Drew Timmy to training camp. You could have him work with Domantas Sabonis on truly how Sabonis uses a high pick and roll, right? How he does the DHO, the dribble handoff and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. Timmy can do that. He has that skill set, but he doesn't set clean picks. There's some work in progress that it needs to happen there for him to take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Even though his limitations as like an athlete are always going to be like there.
That was my issue watching him in summer league.
Yeah.
Was there's a like level of functional athleticism you need to have.
Yes.
That I don't think he has, but the skill set is like perfect.
Yeah. But I would also say that like, I don't think Kelly Olynyk has ever been able to jump over a phone book. But he finds a way to be useful.
He has functional athleticism.
Yeah, yeah. So with Timmy, I think that you could use Timmy at the G League level to run a lot of the same sets that you mm-hmm. use at the pro level with Domantas Sabonis.
Definitely.
He would have to work and learn that because it's in his bag, but it's not, he's not fully developed mm-hmm. in that area. So I think it's a way that you could continue to build your system where when guys go to the G League, they're playing in a very similar style. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, let's say, Scal Labissiere, which Scal had a great season in the G League last year, right? Mm-hmm. But Scal doesn't do dribble handoffs. Scal doesn't pass the ball hardly at all. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be able to run an offense through him on the high post type deal, mm-hmm. Unless you're just having him be an offensive weapon. I think you could do that with Timmy, and you would have continuity between your G League squad and your main squad, where mm-hmm. you're playing the same style.
Yeah,
and I think that would help people. It'd help Colby Jones develop faster. You know, if there does come a point this season where Devin Carter is healthy enough to get back on the court, you can send him to the G League on a 10-game assignment or an 8-game assignment and let him work in this system to sort of get his feet wet and to build up his endurance and get ready to come up and play for the main team. But, you know, again, these are all like... It's complicated. You're super close to the luxury tax. You don't have a bunch of like cap room as it is. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that they would even consider bringing him in on a full contract. They might bring him in on a summer contract and then waive him. And then you can allocate him to your G League squad if you acquire his rights.
Right. Yeah. That's what I think is happening.
Yeah.
Anyways. I want to talk about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches real quick.
Okay.
I am tired of, I don't know what happened in my algorithm. I do. I do know what happened in my Instagram algorithm that puts people making different foods into my video feed a lot, mm-hmm. which is fine. I'm into that. I've gotten a lot of good recipes that way. I think it's just interesting in general watching people cook because there's a delicacy, not delicateness, delicateness.
Hmm.
There's a finesse to it.
Okay.
That I don't have when I cook.
Okay.
Or do anything. So I think it's fascinating. I think it's so cool. Any cooking show I'm in. Somewhere along the line, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches started getting into my feed a lot. And I'm tired of watching people make artisan peanut butter and jellies. I don't need a quenelle of peanut butter on my, that's the thing. You take like two spoons and you make like a football shaped, it's usually an ice cream on.
It looks like a cannelloni or something.
Yeah. On like your dessert, like a fancy dessert. But it was somebody doing that with like peanut butter and with a jam substance and then making it like a checkerboard pattern on this toasted slice of sourdough. That's crazy. That's insane. If you want to do that with like, I've seen people do that with like bruschetta, or not bruschetta, but like ricotta cheese and then a bruschetta type of mix that they then push into the cheese. Fine. That's fancy enough that plays. Peanut butter and jelly is peanut butter and jelly because it's like peanut butter, jelly, mush it together, consume. I don't need the artisan version of that, bro.
I'm with you, Kyle, because in all honesty, peanut butter and jelly is,
Don't say what, you're about to open an entire can of worms if you say what I think you're about to say.
Well, like anyone can eat one, but yes. it's really made for children. It's a children lunch.
Okay, that's fine. That's a fine take.
Right?
It's delicious though.
No, it is fantastic. Delicious. I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not taking that away,
yeah.
but it's like one of those foods that you're trying to get your kid to eat something and he won't eat anything. And you're like, okay, I don't have any chicken nuggets and there aren't any corn dogs in the freezer. But what I can do is I can make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich as long as you're not allergic to peanut butter.
Right.
Right. So there's this thing that like when you send your kids to school, you can send them with Uncrustables, which is like,
love an Uncrustable.
Right. Yeah. So my son used to like have the big lunch with all the crazy stuff and then would trade.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't find out till later that like, his Uncrustable that he was taking every day, his buddy Jared was eating almost every day, and they were swapping. Everyone's eating different food every day.
Do you know what he was getting in return for this Uncrustable? Because that is that's a high value item.
Yeah, but you know, like I found this. My dad is construction worker. He would go to the job, and he would have his lunch pail, and it would be time for lunch. He would have a horrible bologna sandwich that my mom had slung together and thrown into a lunchbox. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, bummer, I got a bologna sandwich. And then there's some, you know, Hispanic gentlemen on the job site that look over and like, they've got these big fat burritos. And they're like, trade you my burrito for your bologna
sandwich.
That's
wild. That's a fleecing.
And my dad would look at him like, are you sure?
It's like, that's crazy.
Yeah, do you know how many burritos I eat per week? And I would love a bologna sandwich, and they would swap. So I think a lot of times, like with my son, he would be like, hey, it just came down to like what it is that someone else's parents made for them and their lunch. And my son was always like, eh, I'm okay. I'll trade this. I'll trade that. So
no, I just hope he was getting value for his Uncrustable.
Yeah.
That's all.
Anyways. Well, either way, when you have kids, it's easier to send them with peanut butter and jelly as long as they know that they can't sit next to the peanut allergy kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to send them with that than it is like a ham sandwich, because a lot of times they're like, oh, I don't want to eat that. So
sure. And I get that. I've been there.
But I don't know that I need to like see some extreme.
Part of the appeal is that it's easy.
It is the appeal. It's spread the peanut butter on one side, put the jelly on the other, smack them together. Does your kid like crust? Does he not like crust? Does he want to cut in half? Does he not want to cut in half? Job done.
Yeah.
You hope that it doesn't, that the jelly doesn't soak through the white bread before he gets to lunch.
Yeah. It's that easy. It doesn't need to be full-blown Top Chef.
Yeah.
It's a PB&J, dog. Two other things on this. One, somebody on the internet told me, this is akin to me of milk before cereal.
Okay.
This is a major red flag for me. The person said that they mix their peanut butter and their jelly and then just spread that mixture, that atrocity, that abomination on both sides of the bread. On each bread, not on both sides, but on each piece of bread.
Okay, so this is shameful because first of all, peanut butter is not an easy item to clean off of dishes. It's you know, there's a lot of oil base to it.
Yeah.
Like, so
it's gross.
In order to do the mixing,
gross to clean.
You're putting it into a bowl,
mm-hmm,
and then you're mixing it up. Now you've created more work for yourself. Like,
unless
this is supposed to be simple.
Right. Unless that person is like taking out half of the jelly and then putting peanut butter and just pre-mixing it in the jar.
I don't know.
But there's so many, this is so many extra steps that don't need to be there.
No, it's super basic.
Yes. I don't understand. The other thing, and I see many on the line, but the other thing is I saw somebody just today, unrelated to any of this, just today say they use a different, no nut allergies in their house, but they use a different knife for the peanut butter and the jelly.
No.
Outrage. Wipe the knife off.
Build your sandwich on a paper towel so then you can wipe the knife off.
Thank
on
you.
The paper towel.
You get this.
And you just, or heaven
and
forbid.
And then you eat over the paper towel.
Yes. And then when you're done with the second mix, the thing you can do, you can lick the knife clean. It's fine. It's your peanut butter and chili. And then you put the knife in the dishwasher and it's ready to go.
Yeah. I go finger to knife and then peanut butter there. And then I wash my hands.
Okay.
But same deal.
Oh, okay.
It's not like,
yeah.
Oh,
this is tough, man. Why do people make things so complicated?
I don't know. Manny, what do you got?
Look, it doesn't have to be complicated. Nobody's playing Tetris on the sandwich, right?
Right.
But we all have preferences on what we like. Like I, as an adult now, right? I used to, as a kid, you eat a burger, you're fine with just whatever condiments you want in a regular burger. Hey, I enjoy a fat Elvis burger now that I'm a dog. Some peanut butter, banana. Like, I like the fancy burgers. Yep,
that plays, bro.
What they call gourmet burgers, right?
Yeah, but yeah.
Back to PB&J.
Please.
Like, for me, I love peanut butter. So I sent you my tutorial. I put a little bit of peanut butter on both sides. It does not overly do it.
Yep.
I put the jelly on one side, fry it on a pan.
Yeah, that's fine.
And it's great. But also, utilize your cereal. Crunch berries, peanut butter or regular berries, some Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Put it for that extra crunch in the middle of that, and it's a beautiful sandwich. And that doesn't take a lot of effort.
Kyle, I'm still like...
A grilled PB&J is bomb. That does play for me.
Okay, so
that's
if
not too complicated.
If I've got
fine.
A sub and it came with a bag of chips, I'm stuffing the chips in the sub.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So I can get on board with crunch berries on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to eat one, which I don't know the next time I will have one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I could try that.
Here's my pro tip. I don't know if we're allowed to. There is a popular convenience store. Think like Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith. Yeah, that place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I don't want to say the name because I don't know sponsors and all that. But
yeah, yeah.
Just think of that. It'd be fine. They have a flavor of chip that is prime rib. Prime rib flavored potato chips.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's good?
It is fantastic.
Oh.
Stuff some of those on your sandwich.
I don't know how this happened.
I'm bringing you some. I'm going to that convenience store / gas station. Sometimes standalone, sometimes with gas pumps. And I will bring you some of these chips.
Okay.
And you're gonna be like, damn, I get it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Anyways, that's James. I'm Kyle. We're gonna talk about sports next. I swear. On ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Coming out in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, also twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Come hang out there, and you get to hear secrets about what my alarms are called.
I think I'm going to start naming my alarms.
Yeah. Sometimes it's more for to remind myself why I set that alarm.
Okay.
Because I get distracted very easily, and I got a million things going on like at all times. And so if I just set an alarm, if I turn my sprinklers on and I set an alarm to go turn those sprinklers off, but I just set the alarm and then I'm doing something else and the alarm goes off.
You'll be like, what is that alarm for?
There are times I'll literally be with the sprinklers. It's usually not that because I can hear them and I know that it was 5 minutes ago. So I got to go. But if you told me, hey, today at 5 o'clock, can you jump on the King's Beat Zoom? Yeah, for sure. I'm going to set an alarm for 5 o'clock.
Okay.
If I didn't write King's Beat on that alarm, there's a really strong chance that I'd be like, oh, I must have set that and meant 5 a.m. And just turn it off. So that's why I'll name the alarm sometimes.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's why when I was cooking a prime rib, I had to name the alarm something because it was just a random time. I might have forgotten.
All right.
Had to let myself know. All right. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube's a sponsor. I will get to good idea or bad idea in a second, but the 49ers yesterday had their first day of training camp. A couple things from this. One, Trent Williams is holding out. Brandon Ayuk is holding in, so he reported to camp, so he won't get fined, but he's not on the field. Trent Williams is holding out. Trent Williams said, I'm the ninth highest paid offensive tackle in the sport right now. I'm very clearly not the ninth best offensive tackle in the sport right now. I want more money. And so he's holding out. He's at home wherever. I think he lives in Texas.
I think it's okay for Trent Williams because it's not, I mean, like look, this is the guy who can walk in and like change everything for your team. And like, this is not a Brandon Ayuk situation. Trent Williams knows exactly who he is as a player. He knows exactly how much time he needs to tune up. He knows exactly how much money he wants, and he's probably going to get all of that taken care of and then some.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Like,
there's not with Brandon Ayuk, you can have an argument about his value. You can have an argument about, well, they pass this much. His volume's going to be this much. He wants this much. This receiver makes that much. He should fall in that. You can have an argument about his value. With Trent Williams, there's no argument. With Trent Williams, he's the best left tackle in the sport. That is the second most important position on offense. Pay him.
Yeah.
And so he's under contract. It's about guaranteed dollars. What they did with Christian McCaffrey's deal was they threw a couple extra million on it and then guaranteed money that he was already going to make.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they do something similar with Trent Williams where he gets a little bit of a pay bump and then they guarantee some of the money knowing that, all right, hey, buckle up, you're playing for the next 3 years, two, 3 years, whatever it is. I think it's three.
I think Trent Williams has a three-year $77 million contract, but it's like $22 million over the next 2 years and then like 33 in the final year, something like that, where you kind of look at it and you're like, oh, he's not getting any of that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he's trying to guarantee a little bit more money the way that DeMar DeRozan did in his deal, where that third year has a bunch of clauses built in that if he reaches this plateau or the Kings win X amount of games, that he gets that last year guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah. And Trent Williams is 36, 37 years old now.
Yeah. Get your money.
Yeah. This is going to be your last chance to get guarantee real money. And if he has a major injury, knock on wood that he doesn't, but if he does, it might be it. And if he doesn't have any of that money guaranteed.
Yeah.
He's leaving money on the table. I think it's a smart move. We talk about this all the time. Get your money, get your bag.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
yeah, because they're not worrying about you the day you walk out of the league.
1,000%.
And you're not playing anymore. They're done worrying about you, so you need to get your money while you have the skill to get it.
I do think it's less complicated than the Ayuk stuff, though.
Totally.
There's maneuvering they're going to have to do, like we talked about with the Kings and the way, okay, how does this move impact this and that?
Mm-hmm.
But the Trent Williams thing is a lot less complicated than the IU.
I totally agree.
There's a very clear target, I think, and it's just a matter of them getting there. But the Trent Williams holdout and the Brandon Ayuk hold in are the realities of the situation. Well, A, the realities of this is what happens when you have a lot of good players.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pay everybody, and everybody wants their proper slice of the pie, and there's only so much pie to go around. But this is also the reality of their quarterback situation. This is Brock Purdy's fault.
Mm.
Jokingly. He's played well enough through 17 regular season starts and six playoff starts, five, and then the one he got hurt in. But he's played well enough in those starts that the 49ers are looking at their cap situation and going, hey, we're going to owe this guy $60+ million a year for the next however many years, so we have to act accordingly. So they don't have rookie Brock Purdy making $12 an hour. So they can't go, yeah, Trent, well, here's all this money, because that's just money. The guarantees on this contract and the Ayuk contract are going to be about what we would pay a quarterback anyway. So yeah, here, everybody gets paid, everybody. Like, no, man, Brock is going to get $60 million a year. Mm-hmm. He's going to be eating up a much larger percentage of the cap, and now that position is going to have that much more money allocated to it, because even Jimmy Garoppolo's deal was like 25 or 26 a year.
Yeah.
Maybe 28. It was less than $30 million a year when he signed it in 2018. It was the highest paid quarterback in the league at that point.
Whew.
So by the last couple of years, it was pennies for the position. They haven't been paying a quarterback at the top of the market for 5 years now, and they've been able to build out this really good roster.
Yeah.
And now they're at a point where, okay, well, Purdy is due for an extension after this year, and you have to plan accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the NFL is, their salary cap situation is way more complex. There's so many more players, mm-hmm. and there's so many more like guaranteed money, non-guaranteed, like, you know, again, impound accounts, all of these things. There's so much more to it. And like the way you can convert a contract from, you know, like a signing bonus contract to a regular, you know, mm-hmm. guaranteed money contract, all that stuff. But you have to game plan long term. And I think that's what, it's not easy. You're not even going to acquire a player. You have mm-hmm. to find a way to clear 35, 40, maybe 50 million in salary for one guy that makes nothing.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do it? Like, and it's going to be very complicated, and it's not going to feel good for a couple of players that have been around for a long time. It's going to be very harsh. And it's, you know, I think we talked about the Kyle Shanahan interview with Tim Kawakami yesterday, which mm-hmm. again, if you guys haven't listened to that, it's wonderful.
Odyssey podcast, the TK show.
Yeah. The way that he described, Shanahan described it, he's like, well, I can't worry about what Brock Purdy is going to make, because that is the going rate for an NFL quarterback.
Yep.
It's part of doing business in the NFL. If you're going to win and you're going to have a good quarterback, you have to eventually pay that guy. And so whatever the number is, it's going to fit into whatever cap that we have, and it's already been considered how we're going to get there and how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We understand where it's going, and we understand that that's part of doing business in the NFL. Good players cost lots of money,
mm-hmm.
and you have to understand that.
Yep.
So I thought, you know, they're prepared for it.
Yep. Just for reference, the 49ers, which you're right, I think they are prepared for it. I think they've started planning since Purdy's, the end of his rookie year. They started looking out and going, okay, what's the quarterback landscape look like? And if he's that dude, how much are we going to owe him?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been acting accordingly. But even with that, San Francisco is 38, almost, I'm going to call it 39, $39 million over the projected cap for next year.
Whew.
according to Over the Cap, ironically. And there's things you can do. You can create cap space. You can cut players. You can restructure players. And just for reference, the Raiders are $24.2 million under the cap for next year right now.
Mm.
And they're not even, they don't even have a ton of cap space for next season comparatively.
And there's something called carryover, right? So you can rollover. So you can roll over some of your salary cap room from this season into next season. Did the Niners even have that though?
Yes. Yeah. The 49ers right now are, they have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have the sixth most cap space in the NFL right now at $31.4 million.
Hmm.
So some of that will roll over for sure.
Okay.
But also, that's, you can't necessarily bank on that. And with Purdy's contract coming, it's not even necessarily about next year, because you can structure the deal where it doesn't kick in until 2026. So you still have a really cheap quarterback next year.
Yeah.
But Brandon Ayuk's looking for a contract that's 3-4 years long.
Yeah.
Trent Williams looking for guaranteed money over the next 3 years. So you have to start looking out. It's a really complicated thing. Bill Barnwell at ESPN, actually, as we discuss this aspect of the 49ers team building, Bill Barnwell at ESPN wrote something today. It was an extremely long piece.
3 million characters.
Yeah, it is.
5,000 words.
5,000 words. It is incredible. It's a hefty piece of work by Bill Barnwell.
Yeah.
And he just kind of does a deep dive on the Brock Purdy situation.
Mm-hmm.
Basically looking at everything we're talking about right now. Just, hey, if they're going to pay this guy $350 million or whatever it's going to wind up being, what does this look like for them? Should they pay him? What's it mean for players X, Y, and Z? All this stuff. And then one of the things he brings up is, would the Niners trade him? And the philosophy is, and to be clear, Bill Barnwell does not advocate for this. He says it in very plain English. I wouldn't do this. I don't think they should do this. I don't think they will do this. But it's kind of an interesting thought exercise in NFL team building, because right now it is the quarterback. You are all about finding the quarterback, because you can get Patrick Mahomes and have James Hamm and Kyle Madsen at wide receiver and win the Super Bowl. You can
clearly
you can build a team around that. But the 49ers have done it a little bit backwards. They've paid Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and Treverius Ward and Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, and they drafted Brandon Ayuk. And here, all of a sudden, they have this loaded team where it's just plug and play with the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Barnwell's kind of assertion was, well, they could theoretically trade Brock Purdy this offseason, next, the 2025 offseason, instead of paying him, free up all that space, pay Trent Williams, pay Brandon Ayuk, maybe go get a free agent, draft a quarterback, and just try the Brock Purdy thing again. The problem is that's impossible.
Well, it's impossible.
It's a long shot.
Yeah, finding another Brock Purdy at the back end of the draft is like nearly impossible. Like
in the front of the draft.
Well, yeah, but the problem is at the front of the draft, it doesn't save you all that much money.
Right.
I mean, look at what some of these guys are making. Yeah. What did Caleb Williams sign for $30 million a year?
I thought it was big. No, I think it was, there's a rookie scale. He can only make X amount
It's a rookie scale, but for the first pick, I think it's a lot.
Caleb Williams is making, his cap number is 7.1 this
year. Okay, my bad.
It is a 30, to your point, it is a fully guaranteed $39.4 million deal.
For how many years?
Four.
Okay.
Four-year contract plus the fifth-year option, but that doesn't factor into that. That'll be a set amount. But his highest cap is $12.5 million. Having a quarterback on a rookie contract, even as the number one overall pick, is super valuable still.
Oh, yeah.
But to that point, there's a requisite level of QB play you need to have, regardless of what your team looks like.
Yeah.
Brandon Allen was not taking the 49ers to the Super Bowl. No, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Sam Darnold wasn't
Sam Darnold wasn't taking the 40. Jimmy Garoppolo, they had questions about his ability to do that. When you find that guy, you keep him. You pay him.
Oh, I
and
totally
that's,
agree.
That's basically what Barnwell says. So that's an interesting thought experiment, but I don't think it plays here. It's time for the handoff, I
think.
We have
a visitor.
Damian Barling, in the, you all right?
Yeah. I shield you guys from a lot of stuff, man. There's so much that happens in this building. It's just amazing. I love this place. I love Odyssey.
Let's air
Odyssey,
it out.
Odyssey points for everybody.
Let's air it out.
Nah, it's just it's just
where's
weird.
Your elevator music? Hang on.
We got flagged for the elevator music because it's
no
a,
way.
It's a Kehlani record. It's a Kehlani record. So when we did the elevator music gimmick, it was like, yeah, you can't do that. Like, you're not allowed to use a Kehlani song.
All the times you've done Dreams and Nightmares, yeah. All the times I've been like, hey,
well, we've gotten
little...
flagged for that a few
oh,
times,
have we?
Too.
Oh, okay. Mm. Right.
There's a point where you've got to talk over it just enough. That's why we're always doing the ad-libs. But, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
YouTube be trying to take our money. And I don't know why I don't care. We don't get the money, so we could just play music all day long. What would it matter? That money, as far as I know, goes into the abyss.
That's a great idea. We'll just do that right now.
Yeah.
Just have this on under our under the whole discussion.
Yeah,
how's
you
going,
probably. Yeah. Well, I think if you talk over it, it's not going to matter.
Oh, okay.
It's totally fine.
We'll
we just keep talking the whole
it's
time.
Beat bed. Yeah, it's a beat bed. Radio's had beat beds forever.
Yeah.
All right.
You good,
Sorry.
Though?
Yeah. No, I'm okay. Great. I'm great.
I'm so excited for this show to end so I can find out what's happening.
Oh, no. It's nothing serious. It's just there's technical glitches, and then there's, you know, system shutdowns, and then this order wasn't, but this wasn't done. Oh, yeah, sorry, guys, you didn't get paid. No, we'll get it corrected for you. It's like, all right, man. Somebody's going to catch one to the chin any minute. But I like the people I work with, so that doesn't happen. If it was the old place, I'd have the general manager in tears at this point. He was a very sensitive individual. Like you can hurt his feelings. I don't think you can hurt the final boss's feelings here.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
zero chance.
You can hurt other people's feelings.
No. I'd go in there trying to hurt feelings and walk out crying.
Yeah, I Facts. Think that's accurate. Yeah, I think
exactly
that's accurate.
How that would go.
100%.
A tough go.
100%.
Do you eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Is that a thing that is within the scope of something you eat?
Yes, but not regular. It's not like, man, I'm gonna go eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. No. Like, no, that's not really a thing that
you
I
would,
do.
But you. Don't.
I try to plan how I eat. Like the way I eat is really important.
Yeah.
But like in a pinch, yeah, I do peanut butter jelly in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Was that big discussion today?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm really tired of people trying to make artisan PB&J on Instagram. Like it's bread with peanut butter and with jelly, and then you put it together and you eat it. It's people like, oh yeah, toast a piece of sourdough, and then you're putting the peanut butter and jelly in like a checkerboard pattern and like with swirls and with like arugula. I'm just out. I don't.
It's oh, that's hate.
The
like,
simplicity.
I'm with spicing it up a little bit. I saw a video for PB&J French toast. Like they made the little sandwich, then they dipped it in the French toast batter that had a little cinnamon and sugar. No, you don't have to leave.
Kyle's leaving.
The whole segment hating on exactly this.
Oh, no, that's terrible. Just spice it up. Why does... Okay, well, coming up tomorrow on The Insiders, why Kyle Madsen hates creativity.
I don't hate creativity.
I feel like you do.
Part of the appeal of... Part of the appeal of the peanut butter and jelly is the simplicity
Understood.
Of the item.
I understand. No, I understand. Like, in
then
a pinch, yeah,
it,
you
then
just...
Don't, you know what? Then don't call it peanut butter and jelly. That's well, French toast you... with peanut butter and jelly.
No, that's exactly what it was called. It was just a little spiced up version of like, hey, what can I do? Put a little powdered sugar on top. Like, oh, you really do hate creativity.
That's
I'm
false.
Sad.
That's
I'm,
entirely
this,
false.
This moment is heartbreaking.
That's so false.
This is very sad.
You don't need to. It doesn't need to be just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And that's different, though. You know what? I take everything I just said back.
Oh,
not
wow.
Everything. I meant a lot of it.
Okay.
But that's that's a breakfast item.
Sure.
That's French toast. That is
for
a
sure.
Twist on French toast.
Yep.
And that is part of the appeal of French toast is all the different twists you can put on it. That's
yep.
Fine.
Absolutely.
But people are like, make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with me.
What about
we're gonna quenelle the peanut butter onto this toasted piece of house-made sourdough? Like, ugh.
What is quenelle? What does that mean?
It's when have you ever ordered like a really fancy dessert and you get ice cream that's shaped like a football?
No.
Okay. Oh. It's ice cream that's shaped like
why would I get ice cream that's shaped like a football?
Because that's how it's plated, because that's how fancy places do
certain desserts.
Well, I guess I'm not in that tax bracket. I've never had a
I've gone fancy. To dinner with you at a place where they would definitely oh, be talking about. You paid.
Well, I recall that. I'm still paying that dinner off, for the record.
Well, that's what happens when you don't get your paycheck.
It was like a year ago. That's right. Yeah, now we've come full circle.
That's what
When you're not paid properly, you have to pay off the dinners that you have with Kyle Mattson in increments. Dinner was on layaway. Just like Warner Brothers Discovery tried to do with the NBA, is put it on layaway.
Can you guys briefly? I did not follow any. That all happened. If something happens during my drive home,
mm-hmm. It's a long drive.
I don't.
There was back and forth. It was like,
and that all the NBA rights stuff happened while I was on the road yesterday.
Yeah, Warner Brothers Discovery isn't handling this well, and James and I do not see eye to eye on this, and it almost caused a fight the other day, and I demanded to speak to his attorney wife.
That's right.
And he wouldn't allow me to, which I feel like is illegal in some way, shape, or form.
Is she your attorney?
But I she's not.
Oh.
She's my attorney.
She's his attorney. That's right.
Conflict of interest.
Our thing all along was, and this is where James disagreed, is I felt like all along the NBA had very specific language. Like, they knew there was no way Warner Brothers Discovery could match what they were mm-hmm. getting from Amazon. And now, and I think this has been reported, you know, for months all along, is it's all going to be the interpretation of the writing.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah.
And the fact that the NBA has signed the agreements leads me to believe they're very comfortable in the wording of the agreement.
I see.
Because if they hadn't put out those press releases yesterday and Warner Brothers had just responded, that's different. But they're like, full steam ahead, $78 billion, let's go.
Back and forth. It was wild.
Yeah. What do you guys got coming up?
I'm gonna be honest, man. I don't know. Like, we have a show planned. We've had a show planned all week. Yeah, like, it's just, and we never do it because it's July 25th. The Kings don't play for an eternity, so we're vibing. There's holdout. You know, there's Trent Williams stuff to talk about, Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb. Will we actually do it? I don't know. I've been trying to make a Keon Ellis point for 4 days and still haven't been able to do it. So maybe that'll happen today. I don't know. Tune in and find out.
Tap into D'Lo and KC to find out if they have a show. James and I will be back tomorrow. The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until 10 a.m. tomorrow, drink water and be nice to people. Boop!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.